You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Thursday afternoon. Hello.
Well, hello.
Hope everyone is doing well.
I did something new today that I want to pose to all of you out there because I don't understand it. And I think I'm the first on the program to do said thing. I was on my way into work and I looked up and saw the old 69 Highway Express Lane.
Oh,
yeah. And I hadn't yet crossed the double line. And I thought, you know what? I have K-Tag. I am going to jog over there and see what this is all about.
Was it needed?
I was at around 143rd Street, 135th, something like that. And I took it all the way. You know, it ends up dumping out way
at
before
435.
75th Street, right? So I thought I'm going to do it.
Was there a lot of traffic?
It was about 1 o'clock, so decent lunch crowd, but, you know, not terrible.
Okay.
I looked it up. It was $572 million to put in that express lane. Right before we went on the air, I looked it up. $570 million plus I paid, what, a dollar to use it or whatever they've decided this toll is going to be. I need someone to explain why they did this.
Because of traffic congestion from the growing southern Johnson County area.
That's why they said they did it.
Dan, we have looked up the 69 Express Lane on like the Scout camera before, say during rush hour.
Uh-huh.
We've never seen anyone on it. And dare I say, I was the sole occupant of the far left lane.
In fact, Dana, since you mentioned the express lane the first time in this conversation, I immediately pulled up the camera. It has been 4 minutes.
Lay it on me.
Zero cars.
No cars.
Not one.
Now, you might be wondering, well, since you were the only car, Dana, did it save you 20 minutes driving in from out south?
Dana, did it save you 20 minutes driving in from out south?
The car told me it was going to take me 22 minutes to get here, and that was without the expressway. And I ended up taking 22 minutes to get here. $570 million for a lane that I have never seen anyone in. And then I tried it. I'm keeping up with traffic. It's not like there's a different speed limit.
I think more people would use it if they didn't have to pay a toll.
It's 65 miles an hour. And so I pushed it to like 72. And I just rode right on along with a trucker right to my right, and a couple of other. I mean, we just in tandem, waving at each other. Look, you're doing that for free, and I'm paying a dollar.
So, is it now three lanes?
I believe
so. Each way,
and then there's the quote express lane, which is
the third lane.
Why wouldn't they have said in the third lane? I'm not saying I would do this. You can drive 80 or something. Like, there's no. I'm telling you guys, there is no difference at all between that lane and the other lanes. None.
Would you like an express lane update now that we're 7 minutes in?
Yes.
Zero. Not one.
Maybe they're going so fast you can't see them.
Not one. And not to mention the cost, the other, you know, millions of trees that had to be cut down that they planted along that highway when they built it in the first place.
I don't know that that was something we needed.
Well, you spent a dollar on it.
Do me a favor, everybody listening. The next time you're out south heading north or north heading, just hop on that old. It's worth the dollar, whatever it is they're charging.
Research purpose.
For you to just hop on and go, and you will have the same reaction. Like, and maybe,
why am I here?
Maybe at 6 p.m. it's super great, but we've looked it up before and not seen traffic on that thing during rush hour.
Or 6 a.m., 7 a.m.,
I have not seen 6 a.m. since I was crowning with child. I have no idea what traffic looks like at 6 a.m.,
okay.
But I'm telling you, I just don't think that the $570 million was something that was needed.
From the text line, I feel the same about all the new bike lanes.
I understand that.
Don't even get me started.
No, I know we
will
not.
Don't even get me started.
How many bicyclists use them?
None.
The same number of people driving on 69 Highway right now.
Express lane.
The same number.
But it's nice to know they're there if one wanted to bike.
All right. We are out with the 10 most beloved U.S. landmarks.
10 most beloved U.S. landmarks.
Yep. And I'm going to tell you right now, Five of them are in the state of New York.
Number one.
The Statue of Liberty.
Lady Liberty.
Should be.
Number seven.
Oh! Dang!
Oh, the 9/11.
Did not make it.
Okay.
Yeah, when you say beloved, it's hard to weave that into beloved. Mount Rushmore.
Is not in New York.
No, but there are five others that are not in New York.
Okay.
Mount Rushmore did not make the list.
Wow.
Are we talking about geological, geographic locations, or are we talking about, you know, like the big ball of twine?
All right, let me give you another example.
Please.
I'll give you number three, the Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, okay.
Beloved?
Mm-hmm.
Rockefeller Center.
Number one.
Oh, okay.
Number one.
It's a rather unique place.
Don't tell me the St. Louis Arch is on there.
Nope.
Okay. Beloved. What, like the Alamo?
Did not make the top 10.
Are we talking about national monuments or in the
land,
park system?
Not monuments, landmarks.
Oh, landmarks. Oh, okay. Okay. So this is a made-up list. Okay.
I mean, are any of the monuments in D.C.? On the list, I would say the World War II monument.
No.
It is one of the most stunning.
Landmark, I would say the Smithsonian Museum.
Nope.
I got nothing.
Number 10, Glacier National Park in Montana.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Number 9, the Grand Canyon.
Ew, that's a big one.
Number 8, Yosemite.
Okay.
Number 7, Statue of Liberty. Number 6, the Empire State Building.
Hmm.
Number five, Yellowstone in Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, the USS Midway in...
Oh, of course. Hawaii.
No, that's the Arizona.
Where is the Midway?
San Diego.
San Diego.
Oh, man,
Diego.
I would have thought Pearl Harbor...
by the Germans in 1910.
I would have thought Pearl Harbor would have been on there.
Brooklyn Bridge is number 3. Niagara Falls is number 2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam, Rockefeller Center is number 1.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like your Midwest pronunciation. Rockefeller.
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 And then they have the 10 most complained about U.S. landmarks, but who cares?
Give us a taste of that. Why are people complaining about landmarks?
And who's the one complaining? If they chose Rockefeller Center... as number one landmark.
Rockefeller Center.
If they chose that as the number one landmark, who are the people that are responding to this survey?
I would agree. I would have thought Statue of Liberty would have been number one with a bullet.
Mm. Number one on the most complained about U.S. landmarks is Tombstone Courthouse State Park in Arizona.
Random, but okay.
Why is it complained about?
I don't know.
I go there every Tuesday. What are you guys talking about?
Number 2 is Kennedy Space Center.
What? I love the Space Center.
That place is awesome.
Number 3 is John F. Kennedy's birthplace.
Okay.
Number 4 is Cape Canaveral.
Well, there's some
the
noise.
Space Center.
That's the Space Center.
No, yeah.
There's some noise there, but you know that when you buy a house.
Number 5 is Los Alamos.
Well, it's not exactly a landmark, and Los Alamos is a very interesting place up on the mesa.
Number 6 is the Supreme Court building.
Ha!
A lot of complaints.
Number 7 is
the... Can we get that out of here?
Number 7 is the Smithsonian.
All right. Again, who's...
That's big enough to be a city, by the way.
Who's asking the questions, and who is responding?
Dan, I don't know. I just read the news. That's what I do for a living. Anyway...
What is your most complained about landmark in Kansas City?
Ferris wheel.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Which I've never seen anyone on.
My friend Leanne, Annie's Barn, has been on it. She says she loves it.
I went on it right after it opened, and granted it was winter, so like the little bubble car that you ride in, when you exhale, it provides heat. And when it's cold outside, that makes the windows fog out.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I spent 14 minutes looking at fog.
Best landmark in Kansas City. Go.
Probably the World War I Museum or the shuttlecocks.
Yeah, the memorial.
The Nelson.
The memorial. Mm-hmm. Union Station. Maybe even the Scout statue, that location.
Come on, guys. Independence Avenue Bridge.
Clearly. If we're really talking about the most complained about from an insurance perspective, that is number one with a bullet.
You're leaving out the Truman Library.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which I have been to countless times. It is a gem.
Yes, it is.
Of this city.
Okay.
That I don't think enough people go to.
Nelson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Honestly, Texine says the Plaza, but I think that's not true anymore.
Somebody says Union Station, way overrated.
Oh,
I don't agree with that.
No.
I don't agree with that at all.
What does that even mean?
Oh, my gosh.
That it's overrated.
Walk in and just look up. I think if someone thinks that is truly the case, they did not see what it looked like before the bi-state tax that revitalized
it. Amen to that. Amen to that. 913-586-7798. What is the hidden gem of Kansas City? The landmark that you love the most? Think about it. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. From the text line, a few nominations for the gem of Kansas City. Loose Park, yes.
Stunning.
Kauffman Gardens.
Specifically, the Rose Garden in Loose Park came up a couple of times.
The Truman Sports Complex is on the text line.
As a gem.
I don't know that anybody would consider that a gem.
I think the complex itself, yes. There was one that appeared to be facetious as it said, everything around it is beautiful.
Like the vacant hotel?
Right, the Taco Bell.
And the burned down Denny's?
That is a beautiful Taco Bell.
Hey, that BP gas station.
And the BP gas station, that's right. Let's go to John in Smithville. Hello, John.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
We're doing well, thank you.
Good to hear. My opinion as a gym would be Kauffman Stadium itself, not the Truman Sports Complex.
Okay.
Because it's been around for so long, and it was a staple when the Royals came to Kansas City as their home, and it put Kansas City on the map, in my opinion, as one of the sports areas for other teams and other sports to come in.
Okay. All right. Kauffman Stadium is on the map.
Okay.
You have a story out of Tennessee?
Yeah. We are not going to make this a topic. This is breaking news from the New York Times. Tennessee calls off execution after the staff could not find the prisoner's vein. Tony Carruthers, convicted in connection with three murders in 1994, was scheduled to die by lethal injection this morning. It did not work. The state of Tennessee has called it off and given him a one-year reprieve after a series of attempts, despite lawyers repeatedly asking in emergency filings for the execution to be delayed. The governor issued the reprieve late today. Now listen to this. His case has already drawn attention.
Is he overweight?
As his allies and his lawyers argued, he was wrongfully convicted. And this is the second sort of interesting thing about this case. He apparently would have been the first person in more than 100 years to be executed after representing himself at trial.
Ooh.
They say he has some mental illness and some mental deficiencies that continue to impair even his understanding of what's going on.
Hmm.
So the governor has said, I don't know why the reprieve is a year, but we are going to give it a year. And then I will ask you, are we starting to see the end? It's just
of the death
so
penalty.
Much of this does not work the way that we do it.
Well, and there was the guy... what state was it in? He had been sentenced to death. Let me rephrase. He had been sentenced to death and was scheduled to die five times. And then he's now free.
Oh yeah.
What state was that?
Have gotten it wrong so many times that it's hard for me to understand, you know, outside of the 100% concrete, we know you did this in the most horrifying crime that you can imagine that we won't even talk about on the air.
Right.
Outside of those handful of cases, the ones where there is any question about guilt or innocence, I can no longer support capital punishment in those cases.
So they have done a study, believe it or not, on the most popular last words for death row inmates. And this is out of Texas.
Is it, I didn't do it?
No, it is not. The most popular...
don't say popular. I don't like that word.
The most used word.
Okay. Common. The most common last words.
Yes.
Okay.
God.
Okay.
Number two, sorry.
Huh.
Here are some 15 infamous last words. I'm not going to read them all.
Some of these are crazy.
Jimmy Glass, who was executed in 1987 in Louisiana, his last words, I'd rather be fishing.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jeffrey Matthews, 2011, Oklahoma, his last words, I think the governor's phone is broke.
Really?
Number three, Barbara Graham, 1955, California.
Barbara Graham. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Good people are always so sure they're right. Number four, George Apple, 1928, New York. Well, gentlemen, you're about to see a baked apple.
Seriously?
He was in the electric chair.
Oh, my gosh.
Like I said, some of these are out of pocket.
Number six, Robert Towery, 2012, Arizona. I love my family. Potato, potato, potato.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not think in 50 years we will look back and our children's children will say, I sort of can't believe we did this as long as we did?
James French, 1966, Oklahoma, in the electric chair. His last words. How about this for a headline?
Scott Parks.
How about this for a headline for tomorrow's paper? Keep in mind, his name is James French.
Okay.
How about this for a headline for tomorrow's paper? French fries.
Well, some of them went out with a sense of humor.
Johnny Garrett, 1992, Texas. I'd like to thank my family for loving me and taking care of me. Hmm. And the rest of the world can kiss my ass.
Oh, my God.
Richard Zeitvogel, 1996, Missouri. Keep the faith and rock on.
Thank you, George Michael.
Do you think in 50 years our children or our children's children will look back and say, I cannot believe the United States let this go on as long as they did?
Grover Redding, 1921, Illinois.
Just keeps going back to it. He can't help himself.
Grover Redding, 1921, Illinois. I have something to say, but not at this time.
Nice. Dana, I have a sneaking suspicion that we'll be doing it more in 50 years than we are today.
I don't.
Why do you say that?
We're going to run out of prison room and people are going to keep criming.
Mm.
And we either just let everybody walk or...
If you could say that for the ultimate punishment in a handful of cases... Where we are right 100% of the time, I think most Americans would be comfortable with capital punishment. I really do.
Yeah.
The problem is we suck at it so bad.
We do.
There are too many cases where we know the individuals did not do it. The cases that are in the news more often than anyone should be comfortable with, where it turns out after all this time, new DNA evidence, it was somebody else the whole time. And to me, if you can't get it right 100% of the time, we cannot have state-sanctioned killing.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. You know, you were mentioning the death penalty and We need to get it right, and you're absolutely right. But John E. Robinson has been on death row in Kansas for 25 years.
Well, there really is no death row on Kansas in the traditional sense of that word.
Correct. I mean, why is he not being walked down the hall right now? There is no doubt.
Well, that, or the Carr brothers out of Wichita.
Exactly.
You know.
Although I think that was overturned, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't know, Scott. It's been such a long time. I mean, decades, right?
I believe it was the 50s, the last time Kansas put somebody to death. BTK should be on death row and is not. How do you explain that?
I think at some point Kansas decided it's too expensive.
Okay.
Where do we house it? Where do we find a pharmacy to mix the cocktail of drugs? Mm. Right?
A story here from the New York Post. A United Airlines passenger has been labeled a psycho after body slamming his seat for the entire flight because a tall man behind him allegedly prevented him from reclining. There is video. It's on Reddit. According to the Post, uploaded by a fly witness, the tantrum occurred aboard an early morning United Airlines flight 1377 from Denver to Chicago. The Redditor wrote that the culprit, quote, repeatedly slammed his body against his chair every few minutes for 2 hours straight.
How is that not assault and battery at that point?
To seemingly exact revenge on the 6'7" man.
Oh!
That sat behind him. Sam, you're welcome to jump in anytime you want.
The seats are not far enough apart. I am sorry that my kneecaps press against the back of your seat and do not allow you to recline 1 degree, bro. You're not even reclining. Chill out.
Are you surprised they didn't remove him?
You're in flight. Where are you going to put him?
I don't know, but you can't just be a fool.
Throw him out the door?
I don't know.
And he is, like, very obviously rolling forward into the seat and launching his back as hard as he can.
Are you serious?
Let me ask you something. Is it time we got rid of the reclining seats on airplanes?
Yeah, yes. The inch and a half or 2 inches that you can lean back makes no matter to anybody anyway.
And nobody ever turns around and says, hey, I'm getting ready to recline. Is that okay with you? Nobody ever says that. They just...
do it.
Recline.
Also, I did exaggerate. They recline 10 degrees. You get 10 degrees of recline.
Mm.
How many inches is that?
Anywhere from 2 to 4 inches, depending on the size of the seat.
Okay, this is... Have you watched this video, Scott?
No, I have not.
I would not have put up with that. It would be jarring. It would be...
painful.
It's so aggressive. Mm-hmm. He just slam.
Good I would have Lord. Made it real awkward for the rest of that flight.
How?
I would have leaned forward and just started blowing on his ear.
What?
Yeah. You want to get weird, man? Let's get weird. You want to keep doing this? I'm going to blow on the back of your ear the whole time you're doing it.
Okay. Flight attendant was aware of the situation. They did ask the taller man, 6'7", if he was okay. He replied, yes.
Wow.
Okay.
We're going to bring this back a little later in the program, I think, because I really want to talk about this, but I don't know that we have enough time to get into it now. Finally, a problem that we have discussed repeatedly on this program has caught the eye of the Missouri Attorney General, and Catherine Hanaway is now suing a cryptocurrency ATM company.
Good.
How many times have we had this story on the program where they are basically essentially used, exclusively
for extortion,
used to bilk seniors, but others, out of tens of thousands of dollars, if not more. And they are scattered in sort of bizarre places around town, but a lot of convenience stores.
Mm-hmm.
The Missouri Attorney General has announced she is suing a cryptocurrency ATM company, so says Matt Fleener over at KNBC 9 News. The lawsuit is seeking millions of dollars in civil penalties, as well as restitution from victims. The suit is against one of the largest Bitcoin ATM companies in the world. The lawsuit was filed in Jasper County on behalf of three victims, as prosecutors and attorneys general across the country have started a growing crackdown on crypto ATM operators. The lawsuit alleges it's called GPD Holdings, doing business as, quote, coin flipped, operated crypto ATMs that are routinely used by scammers for romance scams, fake investment opportunities, and extortion attempts. In one case, Scott, we looked this up. Was it 90% of the transactions yes. going through those Bitcoin ATM yes. machines
are, fraud.
Are fraud. Fraud?
That is correct.
90%. CoinFlip also charges an exorbitant transaction fee, I guess, ranging up to 21.90% of the transaction value. So along with losing your savings to the scammers, yeah. you are also losing 21% to the company in this fee. She says it is a big, big scam. But more importantly, these crypto ATMs have become the getaway car for fraudsters in our state.
Why don't they ban them?
We're headed there. We are absolutely headed there. You want to know the median loss in a crypto ATM scan? The median loss.
$80,000.
Is $10,000 across the nation. They are seeking to stop CoinFlip from continuing to operate anywhere in Missouri. Kansas, if they have not already, has got to follow suit on this. And not just CoinFlip, because you don't want another company popping up and doing the same thing.
But not a single state has banned these Bitcoin ATMs. Not one. And I am the last person to sit here and tell you we need more legislation. We need the government to get involved. On these, I think we do. And I can't believe I just said that.
The lawsuit cites both the FTC and the FBI, which state crypto ATM losses from multiple companies, not just this one, increased tenfold from 2023 to present day. It's because it works. It's because when you because they can't trace it. When you tell Marge on the other end of this romance scam, or, you know,
that you need a new Fred, kidney and
that he's got to send you some money because he's won a sweepstakes. They can't trace it. And once that money is put into the machine, it's gone forever. Why not say we will allow you to do this, but we're going to put a 30-day hold on the funds? Is there even a way to do that? Or once you feed it into the machine, is it gone?
Oh, it's gone.
There would be no way to have a clawback period, because what happens is the victims go home and realize, oh my God,
I just got scammed.
I just put $60,000 in. We've had sheriff's deputies say they go into a convenience store to get a Diet Coke, and they see this confused woman looking there, and she's got her cell phone in one hand and a wad envelope of cash in the other hand. And she looks confused, like, I'm supposed to be putting this in this machine.
Well, she is.
And they
confused.
Step in and they're like, ma'am, this is a scam. Yeah. Back away.
Yeah. But what they're telling her on the other end is don't trust anybody.
Police might be in on it.
The police are part of the scam.
Yeah. Or the clerks.
They're gonna come up to you and they're gonna tell you, don't do this. And when they do that, just tell them to leave you alone. You know what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. But then again, the scammers are just going to go somewhere else. They're going to go to the banks. But
there are safe, like with the banks, every teller and bank person, they go through so much training on what to look out for.
Do they?
When it comes to these types of scams. Yes. And with a convenience store clerk, maybe they're paying attention, or maybe it's rush hour, maybe it's the 5 p.m. rush. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to look back into the corner of the convenience store to see what some lady is doing with her cash. That's her business. She's an adult, right?
True. Sam, when you worked at QT, was there a Bitcoin ATM in there?
No, we just had a regular UMB ATM.
Were you told what to look out for?
We had training with regard to money orders. You could not place more than
I don't remember the total, and I don't necessarily want to say it out over the air.
That's fine.
There was a specific number that you could not buy in money orders in a single day. If you exceeded that, it got flagged as money laundering and fraud.
Good.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Hey, our good buddies Post-Sex Nachos will be joining us in studio tomorrow at 2:15.
Be lovely.
Playing a couple of their new songs.
Good.
From the New York Post, a new study found that when you lose your virginity may impact how well you age later in life.
Okay.
Including outcomes like frailty and misery.
What?
In older adulthood.
How do they know this?
In the study, researchers in China analyzed a large genetic database to find DNA markers associated with the age that people make their debut. Mm-hmm. The team then looked to see whether people who carry genetic variants link to earlier or later sexual activity.
There is no way this is a causation. It might be also a very loose correlation.
Also showed differences in health and quality of life in older age. They found that those with genetic singles tied to earlier loss of virginity tended to have less favorable aging-related outcomes.
Okay.
Those who lost their virginity later in their earlier years tended to have better health.
First of all, why even study that? I don't even know what to say about it. And second of all, there is no way you can draw a line from that A to that B. There are way too many factors involved in how we age. Diet, where you live, your upbringing, what you ate as a child when you grew up.
You're sounding very defensive.
No, I'm just saying there's no way they can know that.
Somebody regret our first? No.
I'm just saying. I don't think there's any way they can know that.
Nope.
Think about it. Back in the 1800s, you roll that age way back. So was everyone dying earlier because of that back then? Of course not. People were dying of typhoid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going to live forever.
May have something to do with how quickly you grew up and I don't know, stressors in life. There's a quote in Shameless, great show if you've never seen it. Where Debbie is talking to her older sister, who's the mom of the house, and she says, "Once you have sex for the first time, is that all you think about for the rest of your life?" And I wonder if that theory kind of plays in a little bit. Because it does kind of become an additional stressor that you didn't think about prior.
Would you care to guess the age on average that the typical American loses their virginity?
I bet it's higher than you think.
19.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's higher than we think.
24.
Sam? Oh, no. Not 23? 24.
Sam, I was a late bloomer. I lost mine at 21.
Okay, I don't know.
17.
17 to 19 was going to be my parameter.
17.
Huh. So are all those people dying young because that's on the young end of the scale? I just think this is silly.
Okay. And by the way, the number is shifting upwards.
Yes, that does not surprise me.
I'm with Scott. Why so defensive? I did not expect that reaction.
I don't feel like I'm defensive about it. I just think of all the things that you could study with respect to our longevity, who would even think to come up with that, number one? And again, I just don't buy that you can draw a line between A and B because there are too many other factors. Socioeconomics has nothing to do with when you lose your virginity.
No, but and you're right about that. It does impact.
I mean, don't you remember way back when we were in high school, if we're going to be serious, or some of you middle school, there was always one person that ended up just disappearing for a while. Mm-hmm. And your parents will tell you this, Scott, back in the day, in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
You disappeared for a reason.
The girls just disappeared and went abroad. I don't even know where they said they were going. And that's why we had places like the Crittenden House. And girls would go. They would, once they started to show, they would
have their pregnancy.
Go away. They would labor away. Mm-hmm. And then come back. And no one ever talked about it ever.
I always felt like, and I think a lot of it has to do with the way that my mom told me about sex. I was always afraid of it.
Which was running away from you after throwing a pamphlet at you.
Well, no, she didn't throw a pamphlet. And I've told this story before. My dad was—
Just go to health class.
And Dan, you'll get the reference. My dad was on TDY for like 6 months. And I was in fifth grade, I think I was, at Meadows Elementary School in Texas. And word was getting around that kids were talking about the birds and the bees. And my mom— Stop it!
Why is this always like the most awkward topic when it comes to your parents and this conversation?
And my mom comes into my bedroom. I'll never forget. I was sitting on the bed and I was
minding your own business.
I was reading the liner notes of a record. And my mom sits down and I'm not kidding. And I'll clean this up a little bit. It was a 10-second conversation. She goes, so I'm hearing that there's words about sex at school. And I said, yeah.
Nope. I would have gone, nope, I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
And she said, the man gets excited, the woman gets excited, and they get together. Okay, gotta go, bye.
And then she turned around and ran.
Yes. And I'm like, that was awkward. Like,
please do not ever, ever bring this up around me again.
News with Dan coming your way in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.